Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doris Gentry, and we're live on the radio here this morning, KVON 1440 AM. So honored to be sharing this morning with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning in Napa, and I'm here this morning live with Jennifer Nell. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Jennifer Nell. She's the children's librarian at Napa County, and soon to be joining us is Gina Masalo, and she is with the Horsemen's Association celebrating their 80th birthday, October 19th. So Jennifer is with us, and she's the children's librarian, and if you haven't been into the Napa Library and seen that wonderful special children's area, you are really missing out. So Jennifer, tell me, how long have you been with the Napa Library? Tell us something about you. Who are you? What do you do? Are you married? Do you have kids?
I do. I am married, and I have two children in elementary school.
Where do they go?
They go to Vichy.
Oh, they attend Vichy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long have you been with the library?
I've been with the library since 2002.
Oh, so you've been there through all the renovation.
Yes. And then during that time, I was earning my master's in library and information science.
Oh, wow.
And so then I became an official librarian
in
2012, right before I delivered my second born.
Oh, wow. So you've got all that Dewey Decimal System down.
Yes.
Do we still use that?
We still do use that.
Yes. And now do you still have the drawers with the cards in it where you go? You know, I grew up and there were these drawers that you would pull out when you were wanting to look at mysteries or, you know, and then there were all these cards.
The card catalog.
Catalog. Do we still use that?
We have the computer catalog.
Oh, we have a computer now. Oh, it's the computer day and age. Oh, my gosh.
I always tell my daughter, you have it so easy, right?
You have no idea.
You didn't have to, like, go to the card, pull it out, see, hope it's the right book that's going to contain the information you want, then try to find the information in the book, like, you know.
Yeah, but then you got to find the right aisle in the book. And
yeah.
Then
and
you
got
to go down the Dewey Decimal System to find your book.
Totally,
and it's just... Yeah, we also have this morning our sidekick, beautiful Julie Hamilton.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
happy
Julie,
Monday.
Julie.
I hope you're having a hopeful Monday.
Today is a beautiful day.
Sure is.
So reading, I have this saying on my desk above my desk in my office. It said, if I have some money, I buy books. If there's any money left over, I buy food. That I am a bookaholic, and I'm not a library-aholic, as I mentioned to you earlier, because I mark, I highlight, I underline, I dog ear. And then on the front, you know that blank page on the front? Mm-hmm. I'm so glad they developed those blank pages.
Yes.
Because right there, I list everything that slapped me in
yes,
the face.
Totally.
I go page 98, da 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 da.
Yep.
Page 102, da 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 da. And I put all my notes there. So later, when I'm trying to find something, I can open my cover and then I can see it.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it works out perfectly. Yeah. So, Jennifer, I asked you if you're married and you have kids. You said you do. You've worked at the library since 2002, and you've got this wonderful children's room. And I know you have some kits you brought along to share with us, but let's hold off on that a minute, and let's just blow trumpets about the library. That new children's room rocks.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
so cool.
I love that new children's room.
So cool.
Talk about that.
Oh, wow. It was a big project.
It was.
Rather than shutting it down, we kind of took the books that were most used and popular, and also we have assignments throughout the year. So we kind of pulled those. We planned a few years in advance and we were led by, of course, the head of children's services, Ann Davis, and so she was a great leader in making that happen. And so while the remodel was happening, we moved to the community meeting room.
Yeah.
And then the remaining books that, you know, are used, but not quite as frequently as some of the others. Those were moved to a storage area, and then that was a very organized situation.
Of course, yes. I bet you little Dewey Decimal System director, organizer, people. I'm a helicopter person. My life is chaos, but I'm big picture.
So
like I'm zero details.
So we moved back into the children's room in the summer of 2017. And we just really love it.
I felt like it added a benefit to safety as well. Like the way that you reorganized it, I just felt like there's this
thing. Stop the presses. Got to give you some applause, Julie. She and I were just talking about
that. Oh, okay.
Go for it.
Yeah, and so.
I mean, before we came live.
Yeah. And I just really applaud the way that you made it where now there's just one way in, like just that narrow, simple way in. Before, I felt like if I was playing at the back with the baby, then the older one could go out the front in like a lot of different ways. But I really love the way that you set it up. Now it has sort of that, not a blockade, but where there's only one way in and out, and it's right in front of the librarian's desk. Which
I love that.
Absolutely love that. It was one of my favorite things.
Well, I love it for a different reason. I was talking with Jennifer earlier that I used to, my foster kids, my older teen boys, would love to hang out where the adult computers are.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are watching pornography, which is, I tried to ban that, but it cannot be banned. You know, the word library and the word banned are two polar opposites. And I understand that. It's freedom of information. But for me, I didn't want my teen boys hanging out there and being able to, you know, see things. So now with this children's room, I'm really, really happy with that.
We're very excited. And we actually expanded the room towards the back. There's a garden area and we bumped that out. So now there's sort of an early childhood area. So we have little manipulative boxes for
things. Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
And tons of board books. And so, and those aren't organized in any particular order.
And what did you call those?
The
board books?
Board books. So those are the books that, they just sturdy.
Hard books.
Some people call them chunky books.
Oh, okay.
And so the kids can actually handle them.
Sure.
0 to 2 years old.
So you made an area in the back for that. Now, that's not an area I've been to. And so that sounds really great.
Yes, it's great.
So what are some of the most popular books for children? Can I tap your brain just a second? What are some of the topics that currently, because I know there was a time where Harry Potter was the only thing kids read, and bless their heart, at least they were reading.
Oh, yes. And that's still very popular, and we have read-alikes for that. We have lists of read-alikes. So if children liked Harry Potter, then there's other books that are similar. But and then, of course, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, those are all very popular. I oversee the children's picture book area.
Oh.
And so I order for the children's picture books, the easy readers, and the board books. So the picture books happen to be one of the most popular areas of the library.
Of course.
And we always, and just very important in the development of the child's
So picture books are for younger children?
They can be for older children as well. And so while a child can't understand all the words that they can't necessarily read the books, but they're taking in the rich language. And so they understand what they're hearing in the context of the picture book.
Yeah. Okay.
So they really develop their language skills and their vocabulary as they grow older.
So, that's perfect.
Yeah, then we have the readers, the easy readers, where the kids, the stories may not be so great. They're much better now, but they're in language that the child can actually read.
Yes,
so they have that. Wow, I can read this whole book on my own.
Oh, what an accomplishment! So, well, we also have with us today Gina Masalo.
Good morning. Yep.
Good morning, Gina. You have to get right up inside the microphone for us to hear you. Gina Masalo, and you're here today to blow the trumpets for the Horsemen's Association 80th birthday. Are you kidding? That's so exciting.
We've been here 80 years in Napa. We were formed in 1939, and we acquired the property we're at in 1948.
How big is that property?
It's almost 32 acres.
Really?
And this Saturday is going to be our fundraiser starting at 7 o'clock. It's a $20 entry ticket, and that includes an entry into some of the raffle items and a champagne reception. And it's going to be a great evening. We're excited.
Oh, that's great. I bet you have dancing and music and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be so much fun. I love the Horsemen's Association, what you stand for and what you do. So what would you say in a nutshell, who and what is the Horsemen's Association, and where are you?
You know, we're out on Foster Road, and it's a social club. You don't have to be a horse owner to be a member. We meet monthly. We host different events and different socials throughout the year. We have lots of horse activities, like a horse show series, poker rides, trail challenges. So it just a little bit of everything.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And so on 32 acres, do you have horses for people to ride, or how does that work?
We do not. We don't quite operate like that. We do have a small boarding program for our members, but we don't have the ability to have rides for the public.
Oh, okay. Okay, but so you do like trail rides and stuff for people that are members there that have their horses?
We have a ranger that's Misty Evans, and she'll coordinate like a group trail ride or group camping trips that we would all get together and do.
That is so cool. That's so cool. We're going to come back to that. I'm going to turn it back over to Julie Hamilton. What questions do you have for our guests?
Well, first, I would love to just acknowledge that Gina is joining our conversation late because I gave her the wrong address. So I just wanted everybody to know that she's not late on her fault. It's my fault that she is late.
Well, now that we've all accepted her blame.
Well, you know, I thought I was 100% sure. I sent the email, and then I think in all the like stuff of canceling last week and all of that, I didn't send the email. So I'm
so
sorry.
Well, you're allowed one mistake a year.
Thank you. Okay,
That was it.
Okay. All right. I did want to talk about since we just went through this thing where we lost our electricity for days. Many people did. You know, I read in the paper that the library was this hubbub of activity because they still had electricity. I read they had 14 in one day. I think the statistic was 1,400 more people than usual at the library. And so, you know, before the show, you and I were talking about what a great resource the library is during times of trouble. So tell us, like, what people do when there's, like, for instance, when this electricity was out, what are the options for people to come to the library for? Why would they come?
Well, we still had programs happening during that time. Also, we have lots of books and internet connection.
Wi-Fi.
Electricity. So people came, and it just seems like, you know, when we had the fires, people just, they were trying to connect. And so when we're out of, we don't have electricity, or we're in the dark because of a natural disaster, people just came in to just connect with family and let people know, hey, we're doing okay.
Yes.
Sure.
What an important service.
That is a wonderful opportunity for our community. That's really a great opportunity. So coming back to the Horsemen's, what is involved for this 80th birthday party and this $20 ticket? You mentioned champagne reception. What else?
Just the entertainment. There's music. We'll have our bar. We'll be open. The DJ, raffle prizes. We're going to try and get some line dancing together. There will be a food truck or two out there as well.
Nice.
It's a social to come out and support the club. We've got some bigger scale projects we'd like to do at our clubhouse.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Some funds to support that.
Yeah, what are you going to use the money for, or what are the projects?
One of the ones that we're going to focus on is our entry doors. I think they're probably the original entry door to that building, which used to be a dairy barn.
Oh.
And just to get some nice etched glass and a solid door with a tempered glass, that's much, much safer for all of us.
Yeah, that's a great one. And then is there any other additional projects you're working on as well?
Well, the property itself takes quite a bit of upkeep, especially with the rains coming. Mm. Our grounds person, Dennis Magnuson, is going to start getting gravel in, so we have roads around our property and, you know, able to access our barn and arena. So it's a never-ending maintenance project out there.
Yeah,
32 acres would be never-ending maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was just listening to this show with Martha Stewart, and one of her properties in Maine, they lined the mile driveway with pink, crumbled pink granite, like you're talking about the things. And in the winter, they go and they literally scoop up all the pink granite, and they wash it and they store it over the winter, and then in the spring they put it back out. And I was like thinking it's just the opposite for us, because they need something to weather the snow, and we need the gravel because it's going to get rainy and muddy. And so for us it's entirely the opposite, you know, where you're laying down the gravel for the winter.
Well, also too, they would scoop it up because in the winter they have horrible snow, and the plow comes in and the plow would plow it up anyway, and they would lose the pink granite because it'd be plowed to the sides of the road.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's a constant upkeep. And what happens with the gravel and the mud and the rain, like it all kind of dissipates throughout the property. It doesn't stay
where you put it,
and it compacts in and starts to sink.
So I've been to several events out there. I love that bar. I love that view. Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful. We're so fortunate.
The view is just beautiful. And then you have that driveway, that parking lot, which is all dirt, and I'm sure there's some gravel in there. But in the winter, I can imagine that being a little mud bath.
Yeah, especially for our crab feed. That's one of our biggest fundraisers.
Yes.
We get over 100 people there for that, and that parking lot fills up. And if there's no gravel in there, it's just a big, big muddy mess.
A big muddy mess. I totally get that. So Jennifer had some things to share with us, a kit.
Yes, we have our healing kits.
Healing kits. I need a healing kit. Why are they for kids? Julie, we need a healing kit.
Okay.
So in 2000... Oops, sorry.
Stay right there. Stay right there.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
My mic, sorry. Yeah. So in 2017, I took an Info People class, which is sort of a forum for librarians. So if a librarian gets a great idea, then they can do a webinar for other librarians.
Oh,
so hopefully they can pick up the idea. And so the brainchild for the Healing Library, her name is Megan Emery, and she consulted with a woman by the name of Bonnie Thomas, and she's a holistic children's art and play therapy. And together they developed these manuals. They deal with different things. This one's...
Well, tell us what they deal with. What was the first one?
One is Alzheimer's and your family. So if you have that has a grandparent or, you know, parent... dealing with Alzheimer's.
You have a member of your someone you love dealing with Alzheimer's. You have a healing book for that.
Mm-hmm. And we have death of a loved one.
Oh my!
You know, it's the wonderful thing about these manuals is that it just gives you some ideas. It talks about each child's different and how they cope with. Loss.
So is it a book that you would read to your child? Is it a guide, how to deal with this? What's in the book?
It's a guide. There are book suggestions in each manual. And with each book that's in the manual, there are questions. Let me give you an example. There's like one that's fill in the blanks. This is for death of a pet. And so,
death of a pet. Hold on.
Oh, no dog barking.
Dog barking.
No dog barking.
So,
dog barking ceased.
Here's an example.
My dog barked and it died. Here's the book to help you with that tragic loss.
So, for example, this one's called Goodbye Jeepers, and it kind of talks about it, and it picks out certain pages, but here says the box that they're making for Jeepers is so nice. Would you like to do something? It just begins that conversation. So it utilizes the books as a sort of conversation starter. Here we go.
Yeah, so we've got the death of a pet, which was, so we had the Alzheimer's, we had, I saw a loss of a mom, I think was one on the picture that you sent me, the death of a loved one.
The death of a loved one is sort of more all-encompassing, but we kind of separated the kits, so there's, our kits are contained in a little roll carry-on suitcase that they can check out all in one packet.
Yeah.
So we have a loss of a mother, loss of a father. And then, of course, we have loss of other, you know, family members in our collection. So, you know, we've recently suffered a loss in our community, a couple young children.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people, community members came in seeking materials. So we could pull books from our general collection, and then, you know, we were able to kind of provide them, you know, direct them to the Healing Library manual to make it a more cohesive offering.
So they would come in and say, my child just lost, you know, their father. Do you have any books that would help? And so would they walk out? They would come to the children's library desk, I'm assuming, probably?
They could. You know, a lot of people are hearing more about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an article in the paper about it.
Yeah.
Our Facebook page, when we put it up there, we had no idea but we were so glad to be able to, that got out there. So people are aware.
Great.
We also promoted it before they were even available for checkout. People were like, are these ready?
Yeah.
And so we promoted it throughout the county through the Chardonnay, which is sort of the internal. So agencies like Health and Human Services, they're aware of it. So
they would walk out with this suitcase, this rolling suitcase, with the books, like the actual books to read, and then the discussion guide to have facilitate a talk with their child. And is that what's in the kit?
What's in the kit are the books and the manual.
Okay.
And then the manual has some ideas that people can kind of to take
so
on.
So is this something I take home for 2 weeks and bring back? Or
they check out for 3 weeks.
If
nobody has a hold on it, it goes on for another 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I want to stop the presses for a second because I want to describe a little bit about what Jennifer has brought us. So first of all, these manuals are spiral bound, pretty sturdy, made out of some pretty thick paper and colorful. Also, the manual is 8.5 by 11, standard size sheets of paper. So it's big, it's not clumsy or something tiny that you're going to lose.
Yes, we had
in
it
your
bound.
House, huh?
So the manuals can be downloaded from Megan Emery's the Healing Library.
Oh, you can also download
those. Can be accessed there. So we actually
can
had them bound because we're a library and we know that they'll get used. So we want them.
Right. That's why I wanted to describe what it looks like. Yeah. Just and you know on this one, the death of a pet. I was just reading a comment in the book here where you want to make sure your child knows what dead means. And this may be a good time to establish whether your child even understands what dead means. I mean, even in the case of you and a horse, you know, when someone loses a pet they love, an animal they love, do they understand what dead means? And I love that it said here, the helpful instructions in the back of the book, Something Very Sad Happened by Bonnie Zucker and Kim Fleming, suggest the following for letting your child know about death. So maybe somebody listening this morning would like to know this quote. I loved it. I read it, and it just really spoke to me. Their body stopped working, and they died. When someone dies, they cannot eat, sleep, or breathe anymore. And that kind of helps. You know, I know a lot of kids ask me, you know, are there animals in heaven? Mm-hmm. And my answer is always, yep, there better be, because, you know, we're supposed to go to heaven and be like happy. And how could I be happy if I didn't have all my dogs, you know, and horses and guinea pigs and things. And so I love this. This description is so, I think, easy for a four-year-old to understand. They stopped breathing. They stopped eating. They stopped here on the earth, the things that we're familiar with. And so this looks like a really good book for helping children process loss and grief.
Yeah, I'd love to talk too. I think the thing that ties both of these amazing women together is also that, you know, a lot of my friends who have special needs children or children with emotional needs use equine therapy as well to bring healings. Have you had any experience with that? Or
I have not. I haven't. I've been able to do some very informal lessons for family members, but no, I have no direct experience with that. However, you know, I do hear how positive it is for children.
Yeah.
And how it brings results and
yes,
very good for them.
Oh, I think it's so great to grow their confidence. And what else do you think that they could learn from being around horses and being involved in the world of equine?
Well, you know, it might help them be a little more self-aware.
Yeah.
And the horses are really sensitive animals, and it can be...
Horses are sensitive animals?
They're very sensitive, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Now I would never think that. I think they're like bullies.
Bullies?
No. Yeah, because just so big and brawny and everything.
Yeah. They're very very sensitive. I would say they're probably one of the best creatures for reading body language. Half the time,
really?
They probably know what you're doing before you're going to do it.
Wow.
Wow.
And they're really sensitive. They respond to children really well. The horse I had for an extended period of time, she loved kids, and her whole body language, her mannerisms, she would just relax, and she just loved to be with them and was always really calm. And it's not an experience everyone gets to have, especially for children.
What was her name?
Her name was Aries.
Aries. I know some friends that, you know, their horse is their best friend. And the wonderful thing about horses is if everything goes well, they can be your best friend for 20, 25, 30 years, a long time.
Longer
than a dog, yeah. And really,
I go through so many dogs.
And sometimes they really become part of your family, you know.
Exactly, very much so.
Yeah. Would you say, how long did you have Aries?
I had her 20 years, and she lived to be 30.
Oh, wow.
You know, I rescue dogs, so when I said I go through a lot of dogs, it's because I already get them, you know, maybe they've had some damage, and they're already older. I have two dogs right now that I got as puppies, so I'll get to have them probably their full 10 or 14 years. But, Gina, let me ask you, because I missed asking you this. Are you married? Do you have kids? Tell me about Gina. Who is Gina? Where do you work?
I work at Bell Products. I've been there about 3 years. Before that, I was with Four Sisters Inns for about 14 years. I got married 2 years ago.
Aww.
And I have a stepson. Today's his birthday. His name is Keegan Harder, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Keegan.
Keegan,
K-E-E-G-A-N.
You got it.
How old is he? 14,
He's 14 today, yes.
14. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. And so tell me, do you have a horse now?
No, not now. I have a friend, Irene, who's got an extra horse she lets me use whenever I like. And I'm sure when I'm ready, I'll get another one. But it's a big commitment.
Yeah, big commitment.
So does your 14-year-old stepson ride?
He did. He rode Aries a couple summers ago and really seemed to enjoy it. At least he had me convinced he was having fun out there and enjoying it.
Oh, that's really nice. I grew up riding. I rode horses a lot. I rode horses a lot as a kid, and at one point worked in Nebraska riding horses up and down fence lines.
Oh.
Checking fence lines for broken boards and tree limbs falling into the fence lines, and worked on a ranch.
I do have a question. One of the things that I saw in your pictures was from the parade. Was that the 4th of July parade?
Yes, we did the 4th of July parade this year, and I believe the theme was agriculture related, and they dressed up their horses as farmers. Like, we even had a pair of overalls with this little handkerchief.
Horse overalls.
And a pair of gloves. So it was so great. And then we were also in the Yountville Days Parade, and that theme, I believe, was community. So they dressed up in the Finding Nemo characters, because it took the community to find Nemo, but really creative.
That is so much fun. So, well, we're so glad to have you with us and to talk about our Horsemen's Association. And horses are great therapeutic animals. They're a great opportunity for kids and parents for healing through all kinds of loss. You know, we all have loss all the time. Loss, not just death loss, but relationship loss, spouse loss.
Dreams.
You know.
Loss of dreams sometimes.
Oh, well, I didn't think of that one.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've recently had school people on, and we have the loss of two schools in the city of Napa, and so much change. We recently lost the Indian mascot at the Napa High. You know, there's so much loss and how we deal with it. You know, Gina, tell me how do you deal with loss? What are some things you've learned in life about dealing with loss? Or if that stumps you.
Well, no, I always avoided, you know, sharing my thoughts on loss with family and my husband and friends. But actually what I found recently is the more I talk about it and address it, it's just it's just gonna get easier.
So. Get you some applause. Because you know that's the hardest part about loss. You know, the hardest part about loss is talking about it. Mm-hmm. And yet the more we talk about it, the stronger we get.
Yep.
And it's, you know, people will say to me, because I say this almost every radio show, because I just want the world to know, I grew up in 30 foster homes. I've been beaten, raped, abandoned, abused, had my bones broken, and 5 concussions from being thrown against the wall by the time I was 14. And so loss, as sad as it is, and pain, as sad as it is, does not need to define you.
Yes.
Does not need to define you. What defines us is what we choose to do with our life after loss. Sure, there's a time of healing and a time of sadness and dark rooms and crying. Okay, yeah. But at some point, we got to buck up, suck up, get up, get back on that horse. Gina, Gina, we got to get back on that horse, right? And tell me, have you fallen off a horse?
Oh, lots of times.
Oh, yeah. And you get up, buck up, suck up, dust yourself off.
Get back up and get back on.
Yep.
Get back on. So what are some tips you have for us for dealing with loss?
Oh, well, you know.
Jennifer Nell. Jennifer Nell, our Napa Children's Librarian. What are some tips you have for dealing with loss?
Well, I don't know if I necessarily have tips or if I'm really an authority for tips.
No. What have you personally applied to your life to overcome loss?
Well, you know, I think there were times where I had to take a break. You know, both the losses that I've encountered, you know, I thought I just have to eliminate things that are cluttering right now and come back.
Yes.
And revisit things. And
this is group therapy this morning.
Yes.
We're doing group therapy here. Yeah, no, absolutely. Go ahead. What'd you say, Jean?
So unexpected group therapy.
Unexpected group therapy. That's the best kind. Yeah, when you have time to plan it, you think of your answers. Well, but when I just slap you with the question, you're like, oh, my God, what am I going to say?
All we need now is a cup of coffee so we can all be drinking coffee.
Let's leave here and go to Southside. So, yeah, so loss. I love what you said. Declutter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get ourselves so wound up and are busy, and we need to just erase, and have some clean space, mental clean space, whatever that means for you.
Yes. And both of my losses occurred when I was in school doing my undergraduate and then my master's. So I was like, you know, I just really need to focus on my healing part. School, I'll get through it. It's still a priority, but I had to kind of take a little breather.
Yeah, so, had to kind of pull back for a minute and erase some things and start over with a clean piece of paper. You know, I have a window in my kitchen, and it's kind of a bumped out window. My kitchen's kind of big, and I have this three-sided bumped out massive window. Bigger than this table, you know, big. And in the window, I have stacked all kinds of stuff. I have these glass blocks and these glass shelves that crawl up the window. And it's covered with plants and knickknacks and mementos and, well, clutter. So twice a year, I remove everything off those shelves, take out the shelves, take out the glass blocks, crawl up there, scrub the window, repot all the plants, you know, orchids. I counted 9 orchids in that window. And the orchids and things just are bloomers there because of the steam, you know, the dishwasher and doing dishes. They love my kitchen window. And but then they also, the flowers are drawn to the light, so they stick to the glass windows when they die and fall off. And so the windows after every 6 months are a mess. Anyway, I did, so this weekend, because of the power outage and the drama, and I'm on city council, I had so many phone calls and angry people, what are you doing, and are you standing up to this, and you need to make this stop, and you know, frustrated people. So I took a whole day because there was no school or anything, and my son helped me, and we got the stepladder, and we just did my window, and we decluttered, and we washed, and we cleaned, and I erased, and then I had a blank piece of paper. This was on Thursday we did that. So on Friday, my cleaning lady comes. She's like, oh my gosh, your window looks great, but what happened to the floor? Right, because we repotted everything. But yeah, I did that Thursday. So on Friday, I was so fresh and invigorated and was able. And I didn't even realize I did what you just said, because I was on Wednesday just carrying the weight of Napa. And so then on Thursday, I decluttered, and on Friday, I was able to start anew. Of course, I had no internet and, you know, no working phones, but I was able to start new. Wow. Okay, Miss Julie, bud and bright, beautiful Julie, what are your tips for dealing with loss?
Well, my thought on loss is I'd kind of like to take the opposite view of what happens when we don't process loss. You know, it's so important when we have a loss, whether it's a death of a dream or a death of a person or a loss of, even a loss of your way on your path in life. And then all of a sudden you're like, something changed and I don't have any control over it. And I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm going to do. You know, so often we can just keep up the, I don't want to say facade, but we can just keep going like, yes, I'm strong. I can muscle my way through this. Nothing's bothering me. And that sometimes ends up going just all down inside, and you're really just roiling and broiling inside. And I kind of thought with that, with my my second daughter had a pretty traumatic birth, and my mother-in-law passed away 2 days after Livy was born, and it took me about a year to process that because I was so busy taking care of her and, you know, doing that, that it took me around a year to get untraumatized because I never really processed the loss. And so, you know, a lot of times what happens is unprocessed emotion in our emotions, especially from childhood things that we didn't process, comes out in our physical bodies. And so we can get ill from not processing pain, not processing loss. We can have physical things that happen to us because of that unprocessed emotion. So I just want to encourage everyone that if you have a loss, let's acknowledge it. Let's be honest about it. It's okay to cry. It's okay to grieve. And it doesn't even have to be like this big thing where everybody knows that you've lost something. It could be just losing a relationship that was important to you, and allow yourself the space to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. And you have that space to grieve, and you have that space to process that.
Then you'll
start taking steps. Like every day, maybe one day you're able to get out of bed and without struggling. And that's a huge step.
That's huge.
Yeah, maybe the next day you put on your clothes and without struggling. And it just takes one step at a time to process and to find healing, to find joy again. So I just say that about processing loss.
Come back to Gina. You lost a horse.
I did, yes.
So get up in the microphone. Lost a horse. So how did you process your grief over that? I don't know how we got off on grief, but I'm loving it. So let's go there.
Well, I just cried it out, and I talked to people. I had my family, and
oh, I love it. So the first thing...
I'm still kind of dealing with it. It was just in March, but...
Raw still.
But I was really fortunate for her, for how it all happened, and the last day I got to have with her, I was very, very fortunate. So that almost kind of makes it easier to grieve. I don't want to say it makes me happy, but a lot of people don't get that opportunity with the passing of a family member or a pet.
Yes. And so I was really
thankful that I had it. So.
Can I just add something here? And I think this is really important. And what I was just saying about like the birth of my daughter and the death of my mother-in-law within 2 days of each other is that, you know, it took me a while, probably 8 years, to figure out that it's okay to be happy and sad at the same time. Like you can experience sorrow and also be happy for that day that you had, and at the same time, and it's completely okay.
Yeah, that's really good advice. You know, Gina, I really admire you for saying that you cried it out. You know, I think that that's so powerful. You know, it's powerful to cry it out. It takes pheromones out of our body, and it just takes gunk out of our body, and we just ugly cry, and there's snot and drooling, and you know, and it's actually healthy, you know, and you know, really takes a lot for me to ugly cry. I mean, you know, a Hallmark movie. I mean, really, it takes nothing for me to ugly cry. I'm a sympathetic crier too. If I come up to you and you're crying, I'll just start bawling with you.
Aww.
And I don't even know why. It's an empathy thing, because whatever is just so deep and so painful for you, I accept it and embrace it and cry with you.
I think it's because you have a gift of mercy and compassion.
I have a gift of mercy and compassion.
You have compassion for people, compassion for hurting people.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I love hurting people.
You're like, some people like...
I love hurting people.
You do.
Let me stab them. Bam, bam. No, that's not what I meant. No, I have great love for people hurting.
And you can have a hard exterior, or like, I don't say you have a hard exterior, but you know what you want.
Tough, gruff kind of
thing. Yeah, you can be opinionated, you know, and people can be opinionated and have sort of a tough exterior, but have like a tender heart, like a marshmallow on the inside.
That's
really great.
That's super. Okay, well, let's get back to Jennifer and our kits. Okay, so how many kits are there? There were like 10 of them or 8 of them?
We have six kits.
Okay, so there's six different topics, six different kits for struggling pain and kids, for kids to help kids work through the pain of death of a pet, death of a parent. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it talked about, there were areas in here where it talks about, you know, it's okay to cry and
perfect.
And emote, and it gives, you know, just gives some ideas, you know, I think when you're encountering loss, and especially if you have children involved, how do I approach this situation? How do I explain? And I think that's really the value here. You know, I might not have the most healthy way of coping, but I can look through these manuals and
perfect.
Say, let's find some ways to, you know,
yeah,
to work through this. So, like, if a child doesn't want to talk about it, you know, maybe the splat activity, you know, where they splat at something with, you know, let's throw a tomato or something, or, you know, it's just something to you.
Oh, really. Throw a tomato.
Gina,
I can totally get into that one. Grab tomatoes.
Expressing in a physical way, but in a safe, you know, way.
Right.
Yeah. Writing a journal, you know, and
sure.
Painting or...
One of the ones that I think we didn't mention, I saw it, but I don't think we mentioned on the radio, was a natural disaster.
Oh.
And I thought, isn't that appropriate for Napa? We've had some trauma from natural disasters.
So a natural disaster, this power outage was a disaster. And I saw on Facebook postings from people that were in drama and trauma. Oh, my gosh, you know, And then they said, and my child's been crying for 24 hours, and they're terrified. Well, I'm thinking, did you not hear the tones of your comments, Mr. and Mrs. Adult? And do you not realize that your emotions are transferring to the child? So some parents, I saw a post, oh, we're just going to go pretend it's camping, and we're going to light the lantern, and we're going to light the barbecue grill and have hot dogs, and they're just making a fun event out of it. You know, because everybody that lost their power lost their food in the refrigerator and stuff. And I saw one dad post that he and his three kids were having an ice cream eating contest. I mean, how? I was like reading that going, I want to be your child. You know, do you realize the healthy manner that this dad took toward this event? And just started handling it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I would say to parents, as you're talking about grief through a natural disaster, you said that's one of your books. What's the title of it?
Coping with Natural Disaster.
Coping with Natural Disaster. As you think about that, as a parent, thinking about emoting or pushing your emotions, however your reaction to the crisis, that's going to be passed on to your children. And so we have to stand up and be strong, and we have to be the strongest Incredible Hulk in the room, letting our kids know we're going to get through this, we're going to be safe, we're going to be okay,
yeah.
It's going to be all right, and this too shall pass. Yes, we're going to, you know, like possibly lose food and have a financial cost to this. But, you know, we might be eating hot dogs for the next month and McDonald's for a treat, but we'll get through this, you know, as you restock your refrigerator and freezers and that sort of thing. So anybody want to comment on that, Gina? Comment on the, how did this power outage impact you? Oh, that's wonderful. What about out at the Horsemen's?
They did, but we have generators out there.
See, look at that. That's planning.
Mark
Forward
Evans
thinking.
Got our generators set up for us. So they had water. They were good.
See?
Out there.
This is what you do. You plan because you know where we live? Napa. And you know what we have? Natural disasters.
Yep.
We have flooding. We have fires. We have earth. We have it all. Come on, nature. Bring it on. And so are we going to be a warrior? And we going to, you know,
be prepared.
be prepared. We're going to tinfoil wrap our chest and be soldiers in the night and grab our swords and take it on? Or are we going to be victims?
I think for me, one of the most powerful things about this particular electrical outage was a few weeks ago when the Napa Fire Safe Council came in.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
Yeah, they brought a map, and on the map, it had all the fires in the Napa Valley for the last 130 years. And they were coded by different, stripes on this one and this one, this color. And was so. And the point was, they've been having fires in Napa Valley for over 130 years.
Oh, my it's gosh. Not
that, those weren't caused by PG&E, I'm pretty sure, 130 years ago. However, the point was, Napa is going to keep burning.
Yep.
So we need to be prepared, and we need to know this. That,
applause.
You know, yeah, and to be prepared for it, and to know that this is a factor of the area that we live in, and yeah.
So my husband was at Home Depot right after power was restored and everybody was getting their power back on, and he popped into Home Depot to pick up a socket or a screw or something, and he said there was a line of people standing there to return their generators.
Oh.
And I'm like, and my husband's like, he saw some friends in line. He's like, hey, fool, don't you know you need that generator? Because if not this, then that.
This is going to happen again.
This PG&E thing, because of winds, my guess would be we're going to have this two or three more times this winter. Mm-hmm. And so get that generator, figure out how to turn it on, and figure out backup plans.
And you have to plan in advance to connect it to your house. That's the other thing.
See,
you can't just connect it to your house.
Having a generator is not, there's no big outlet on the wall the size of your face that says, generator plugs in here.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's Gina's laughing. I know.
Gina's laughing. You must be technologically savvy, Gina.
Not for everything, but.
But you know, you don't just plug in a generator. Yeah. All right. So let's recap. We've got like just a minute left. We are here with Gina Masalo. And Gina, tell us again your great big news for Saturday.
So fundraiser Saturday starts at 7. Tickets are available on our website.
Which
it's
is?
NapaHorseman.org.
They're spell that. Horseman.
H-O-R-S-E-M-E-N.
M-E-N. Okay.
M-E-N. Correct. Horseman.
Correct.
And that's for this Saturday, 7 o'clock.
The tickets are $20. They include raffle tickets. And
$20.
A champagne
so
reception.
Awesome.
We've got a very generous wine lot to give away. Dr. Claudia Sonder donated a vet emergency kind of first aid kit for your animals.
Oh.
We've got some tack from Buckaroo Leather.
Nice.
Wine from Minor Family in Buman. So lots of great prizes, and we'll have some great music, and come check out our property and help support us.
Can you tell us where it is?
We're on 1200 Foster Road.
Mm-hmm. So just past Snow School.
Right next door to Snow School.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's really great. And then our closing comments from Jennifer Nell, our children's librarian at Napa County Library. She came today and brought samples of her emergency kits for kids. What do you call them?
The healing library. They're healing kits.
Healing kit. Now, how do I get one?
You can come into the library, get a library card, and check one out. It doesn't cost anything.
Okay, so you just go in the front door of the library and say, and can you look through the healing kits?
You can come to the children's room because that's where they're
housed. Oh, they're in the children's room.
Yes, of the Napa County Library.
Okay, oh, perfect. So. Oh, that's great. And the children's room is fabulous.
Thank you.
Oh, the renovation is so amazing, and I love to go there with my 12-year-old son. He gets great books.
Good. Great.
Yeah.
Love
okay.
to hear it.
Yeah. So we got to come in and get some BMX books now. He's all into BMX. And shout out to Donnie Robinson.
Woo!
And Jeff Slesher.
Alyssa
great.
Machaca.
Just because. Alyssa Machaca. She's in Hawaii right now.
I
the
saw
dirty
that.
Rat.
Hawaii. And Maui. She's in Maui,
yeah, she's
I think.
In Maui. Nice. Okay. Closing thoughts or comments?
Oh, my. my closing thoughts are just, I'm so grateful that sometimes in Napa, people say there's nothing for families. And yet I'm sitting here with two amazing women doing two incredible things for families. And so I don't want to hear anybody say there's nothing for families in Napa anymore. We highlight family stuff every single week. So.
Every single week,
yeah.
Julie.
Fantastic resources.
And I appreciate you, Julie. You find such great talent and such great people for us to interview. It's so wonderful to put the spotlight on our heroes of
yes.
the community.
Yes.
So shout out Jennifer Nell, Children's Library, Napa County Library, and Gina Masala with your president of the Horsemen's. Oh, yeah. Okay. So everybody turn out there this Saturday for the Horsemen's event at 7 p.m. And $20.
$20.
Back
oh
to
my
family
gosh.
Friendly.
Yes.
I mean, are kids welcome?
It's an evening event.
Yeah, it's
so
an evening event. But I'm just saying, if you
okay,
don't have, don't let that stop
don't
you.
That
I
stop
mean,
me.
For $20, you bring your kids. So we're going to turn it back over to the station right now, and we are so honored to share the morning with you. I'm Doris Gentry. Talk So Kids Listen, 1440 AM, KVON Radio.